Sing it, because I did a mess of it, I'm sure. But as I've kept going, and as I've been teaching, and as I've been leading, and as I've been studying the Word of God, a lot of things are making sense to me. The book of Revelation reveals the glorious and exalted Christ Jesus. That's what we are missing when we read the book of Revelation. It exposes the Antichrist. You read the book of Revelation, you can see light and darkness. Remember Russell and I did that last year? Yeah. The book of Revelation exposes that. It exposes the Antichrist. It confirms God's judgment on sinful people. Very clear in God's word. It shows the catastrophe of this earth. Many people want to save the planet. What a waste of time. You have to care for it, yes, agreed. You can't save it. Because the Creator is not us. The Creator is God. And if you read Peter carefully, he said, this earth is going to burn up with fervent heat. And he's preparing a new heaven and a new earth. Hallelujah. Wouldn't that be great? Yeah. It also reveals the mystery of Babylon in vivid detail. And over the years, many scholars and theologians have said, the mystery of Babylon is this and that and the other and this church and that church and all sorts of things. No, we are missing the point. Let's get to it one day. The book of Revelation, we will miss the main message of the book of Revelation if we grasp everything else and forget about Jesus at the center of the book of Revelation. Always keep Jesus at the center of that vision that John recorded for us. You'll find something opening up for you. That's what it was. Given by Jesus through John for his church. What are we doing? We're trying to bisect it, dissect it, and multiply it, and all the theories, and everyone runs away with it. But if we grasp everything else and miss Jesus at the center of the revelation, then we've missed it all. We need a fresh revelation of Jesus Christ in this 21st century. Do you agree? The church needs to have a fresh revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, to help us study this book, it's important for us to also notice the language that John uses here when he writes this, because it's the same language that Daniel used in the Old Testament. Remember Daniel the prophet? I'm not going to bow down to that image. Open the windows, let's pray openly. Right, Daniel, off you go. Spend a night with the lions. Daniel, are you there? Yes, O king. I had a good night with the lions. They kept me warm. That is the power of God. We are missing it today. Where are the Daniels who are prepared to stand up for Jesus? I think we saw that in the news this last week. One of those Daniels who stood up. Hallelujah. Listen to what Daniel says in chapter 10, verses 5 to 7. I looked up and saw a man dressed in linen clothing with a belt of pure gold around his waist. His body looked like a precious gem. His face flashed like lightning, and his eyes flamed like torches. His arms and feet shone like polished bronze, and his voice roared like a vast multitude of people. Only I, Daniel, saw the vision. The men with me saw nothing, but they were suddenly terrified and ran away to hide. This language that Daniel is using is apocalyptic language. And that's exactly the same language that John is using when he writes this book. This vision displays the power and the glory of God, just as Daniel had said. He described the majesty of the king that he saw. I'm sure, just like Jesus was with the three Hebrew children when they walked in the fire, I'm sure the Lord was there with Daniel and the lions too. And he will be with you and you and you and me, when we go in through the fire today, or if we have to go through the lion's den. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, if you've not heard of him, I'm going to tell you about him. Great man of God. God used him mightily. This is what he said. He said it more than 100 years ago, but so true. The great fault of many professors is that Christ is to them a character written up on paper. Certainly more than a myth, but yet a person of the dim past. Aren't people saying that today? Oh, the Bible is written too long ago. It's not up to times, up to the times. They forgot who wrote it. But yet a person of the dim past and an historical person who lived many years ago and did most admirable deeds by which we are saved, but who is far from being a living, present, bright reality. Many professors, many theologians have bisected and dissected the book of Revelation and come up with all kinds of theories. Many people have asked me in pastors' meetings, are you a premillennialist or a postmillennialist? Have you been asked that? Well, I say, I'm neither. I say, what do you do? What do you believe, Charles? I'm a panmillennialist. It'll all pan out the way God wanted it. It's true. We may have our theories, we may have all our doctrines set up straight. We are going to be blown away when He works it out. It all pans out according to His will. Right? You don't believe it, wait and see. The vision of the exalted Christ in these verses that we're looking at very quickly. Vision of the exalted Christ, the Son of Man, among the lampstands in chapter 1, verses 9 to 20. There are seven features of Jesus Christ in this vision. First, what did the Apostle John hear? What did he hear? Verses 9 to 11. I, John, am your brother and your partner in suffering and in God's kingdom and in the patient endurance of which Jesus Christ calls us. Who's the us? John and all the churches that he's writing to, and you and me. He's calling us to that. He says, I was exiled to the Isle of Patmos for preaching the word of God. No one's done that yet to me. I don't mind them sending me to Phillip Island. I'll keep on preaching. And for my testimony about Jesus, it was the Lord's day, and I was worshiping in the Spirit. That's what we need to do more and more when we come together. Let's forget about formality. Let's forget about ourselves. Let's forget about how it's done and say, Lord, we are here to worship you, only you. Focus your mind and your heart on him and worship him. Don't worry about what anyone says. It's not for them, it's for him, right? And that's exactly what John said. I was worshiping in the Spirit. Suddenly, I heard the Lord behind me in a loud voice like a trumpet blast. Wow, wouldn't that be wonderful one day when we're worshiping here? You hear the trumpet blast in your ear, say, Lord, I'm coming home. No, I want to tell you something. It said, write in a book everything you see, John, and send it to the seven churches in the cities of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, and Laodicea. Or Philadelphia and Laodicea. Seven churches. We'll talk about that when we go to chapter 2 and 3. What did John hear? The trumpet blast. And the trumpet blast was the voice of the Lord. See Jesus in there. The Lord who is seated on the throne, he said, John, I'm speaking to you. Sounded like a trumpet blast. We need that sometimes to wake us up. Many of us go to sleep in our journey with the Lord. He needs to wake us up. John is on the Isle of Patmos in verse 9. He says, I, John, am your brother and your partner in suffering. I was exiled to the Isle of Patmos for preaching the word of God and for my testimony. And the Lord was with me. That's what he's saying. See Jesus in the midst of it all? The second thing is, what did the Apostle John see? What did he hear? He heard the trumpet blast. What did he see? Verses 12 to 16. When I turned to see who was speaking to me, that was the trumpet blast, I saw seven golden lampstands. What a scene. I've often closed my eyes and tried to picture what John must have seen. You know, stand somewhere in this beautiful part of Victoria and look up into the sky and say, what did John see that day? Lord, give me a revelation of your glory. He saw seven golden lampstands, and standing in the middle of the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man. Now, those words, Son of Man, was mentioned when the three Hebrew children were in the fire. Remember that? The king said, didn't we put three people in there? But I see a fourth person walking around with them. And he looks like the Son of Man, one of the gods. He didn't know the God, so he knew, he said, one of the gods. He looks different. When we are going through the fires of testings, trials, temptations in this life, remember, if you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul, he is with you. He is with you, always. Remember that. Like the Son of Man, he's with you. He was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest. His head and his hair were like white like wool. White like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like flaming fire. What a picture. I want you... The reason why I've given you these sheets is for you to go and do your own study. See what the Lord will give you, a revelation on these verses. His feet, it describes him. His feet were like polished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice thundered like mighty ocean waves. Powerful voice he must have. He held seven stars in his right hand. We can't even hold one. He's got seven stars. Ooh, what a big hand he's got, isn't it? He holds the whole world in his hand. He held seven stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth, and his face was like the sun in all its brilliance. What a description. What did John see? What did John hear? Now, he saw the unveiled vision of the Christ, the resurrected one, the glorified King of Kings. He saw his head, he saw his hair, he saw his eyes, he saw his feet, he heard his voice, he saw his right hand holding the seven stars. Out of his mouth came this flaming sword, penetrating words of God. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says, the word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting down. He saw the probing eyes of the Lord. You remember the song that you learned in Sunday school? Be careful, little eyes, little hands, what you do. The Father up above is looking down in love. He's seeing there. Whenever you look around and see no one's looking, I can do this. Look up. His eyes are on you always. And it says here, his voice is powerful. No other voice like his. His right hand is so strong, he can save you. His mouth is penetrating with those words. And his face was brilliant. We haven't seen the face of anyone like that. No other face is like his face. Finally, I want to come to the third one. What did the Apostle John feel? Stop there for a moment. What would you have felt if you were there with John? Just imagine. I could only imagine. Right? That's all. We can only imagine what it would have been like. I would have loved to be there. I know I'll be there one day. But what a, and this is John's reaction. This is what he felt in verses 17 to 20. Listen to it. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. You know why? Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither can anyone comprehend what God is preparing. But what about God? What about Jesus? We ain't seen nothing, friends, until we see him face to face. I think, I keep saying, you know, you go see Moses and Peter and Paul and I'll spend the first 1,000 years with Jesus. I think when I see him too, I'll fall flat in front of him. I think so. I think we all will. But he laid his right hand on me and said, don't be afraid. We need to hear that word today. If there's anyone here who is afraid of what's happening in Victoria, in Australia, around the world, if there's someone who's afraid of your children or your grandchildren, yeah, we're all concerned. Fear not. For I am with you, says the Lord. He will take care of his children, no matter what. But his children must stand up and be counted. No wishy-washy Christians anymore. I'm not going to tell you, something came to my mind about my little girl who said, no wishy-washy people. I won't tell you today. He says, I died, don't be afraid, because I died. But look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and the grave. Don't fear the grave, folks. Don't fear death. Verse 19, write down what you have seen, both them, the first and the last. I am the living one. Things that are now happening and the things that will happen, this is the meaning of the mystery of the seven stars you see in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels to the seven churches and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Now you know who the lampstands are. What did John the Apostle feel? He felt the presence of the resurrected Lord. When I saw him, I fell down. And the Lord commissions John in verse 17, the second part. He says, I am the first and the last. I am the living one. Don't be afraid. And he goes on and says, verse 19, write down what you have seen, both the things that are happening now and the things that will happen. Because this is the meaning of the mystery of the seven stars. I leave you with three takeaways today. Number one. The church is suffering today, and we must embrace this fact. The church is suffering. In Australia, I belong to a group of pastors and leaders who meet once a month, and we pray for Australia. We have a prayer meeting. The last one we had 500 on the Zoom praying all over Australia, New Zealand. I'll let you know when the next one. Next one is in November. Let you know when it's on. Check in. We're praying for this nation. The church is suffering today. We must embrace this fact. But Jesus is still on the throne. Hallelujah. He is still the Lord of the church. That never changes. Only if we make him the head of our church. You know, Wantaigi Baptist Church can reaffirm that Jesus is Lord and stand by that. And watch what's going to happen. Give him full control. Secondly, second takeaway, we too are called to suffer. You want an easy road, my friends? You're not going to get it here. We are called to suffer as the Lord of the church did. Because the church is his people who are empowered by the Holy Spirit. I was very impressed with that one servant of the Lord who said it as it was and stood by it. Hallelujah. because the church is his people. Remember that Jesus will stand and hold us close and sustain us and protect us as his people by the power of his Spirit. That's the second takeaway. Third takeaway. We need to re-examine our views of who this Jesus is. Who is this Jesus to you? Is he just a name written on a page? Is he not just a figure who lived and all the stories we read? Or is he someone you know as your Lord and Savior? He is our majestic, radiant King. He is the almighty conqueror who holds the keys of death and hell. We just read it. One day, every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ, your Lord and mine, is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is that the Jesus that you worship this morning? That's my Lord that I worship. I want you to see Jesus in the book of Revelation as we go through it. I woke up at 3:30 this morning. And I couldn't sleep after that. I was thinking of the working bee and all the fun people were having. And I couldn't go to sleep. Suddenly I looked at my watch, it was 4:30, and I said, oh no, I've got to get up and preach today. And again I looked at the watch, it was 5 o'clock. But by the time I came to 5 o'clock, I was thinking about Jesus on the throne. And the working bee we're going to have there with him. What a day that's going to be. What a day. And so, Lord, give us a fresh revelation of your glory, your majesty, your beauty, your power, your radiance, your all-sufficient hand that can keep us and protect us and guide us and lead us through difficult times. And yet, Lord, to be the brilliant light shining in this world. You've called us to be the salt of the earth. You've called us to be the light of the world. And I pray that everyone in this church building will walk out today to reflect the radiance of the one who sits on the throne. Give us a fresh revelation this week, Lord, as we look through these verses again. I pray this for myself and for your people here, my brothers and sisters. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.